Matthew in chapter 6, we're going to be looking at fasting. Matthew chapter 6, 16 through 18. Please stand once again for the reading of God's Word. This is out of reverence we stand for the reading of God's Word because it is holy, it is perfect. Listen to what it says. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. This is Christ Jesus telling us this. This is a promise from Him. He will repay you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we do ask this morning that your blessings be upon the reading of your word. I ask, Lord God, that it would be able to work in the lives of those that are here where I am not able to. Lord, I pray that as we look at this topic this morning of fasting, just as we've looked at prayer and giving, we would see that these are areas that we don't need to do but have to do as a Christian. Not because that I say so, but because, Lord God, you have told us to. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be able to do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Giving, prayer, and fasting. Three things that Christ tells us to do. They're not always that easy. We come to the last one, and it is giving up our food. We're going to get a little bit more in detail on that here in just a moment. But listen to what it says here in verse 16. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, or a long face or a sad face is what the King James renders it. A big donkey face. Don't stretch out your face and walk around gloomy along as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Finally, we've got to this last spiritual discipline that we're going to be looking at this morning that Christ mentions, and that is fasting. The Greek definition in this text, I want us to notice what it says. The Greek definition in our text means to abstain from food, not eating, abstinent from food. This is what it means in our text. I know there's a lot of people that have a lot of different definitions for fasting, and that's okay. But here in our text, in this passage, that's what it means to abstain from food. My intention is not to judge your fast or your sacrifice or whatever you lay aside for the Lord. I know a lot of people say, well, I'm going to fast Cokes, or I'm going to fast cigarettes, or I'm going to fast Facebook, or I'm going to fast this, or I'm going to fast that. I'm not knocking those things. But in our text this morning, the Scripture is very clear that we are speaking about food. Does everybody understand that? If you have to fast social media, fast it. Do whatever you got to do. But here in our text, we're talking about food. I'm not judging your sacrifice or whatever you offer up. We're talking about food. Food is a necessity. If we don't have it, according to science, according to survival shows, we die in 3 weeks. It is a necessity. Right? Right? Amen. This is a part of the secret life that Christ teaches on here last. And as he begins, we see yet again that he speaks as if we are already doing this. As we are already doing this. He says, and when you fast. In other words, he is presupposing that we are doing this already. Just as he does with prayer and as he does with giving. This spiritual discipline, I personally believe has vastly been forgotten about in the church today. It's one of the ones that's not spoken on much. And who's to blame for that? Well, the pastor is. I'll go ahead and say it. I don't teach on fasting very much, but this is something that we have to incorporate into our daily life. We have to remember these things. We forget about fasting. One of the things that I forget about the most about the spiritual life and about the secret life is fasting. It's out of sight, out of mind. We forget about it. I do. Can anybody else testify to that? This is the truth, so I'm not alone in this. This is something that we forget about a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it. We live today in a selfie-driven world, don't we? Selfie-driven. I didn't even believe ever in a million years I'd be using the term selfie in a message. But we live in a selfie-driven world. Anything we could possibly want, anything that we could possibly have is readily available at our fingertips, for the most part, at any given time, isn't it? We can get anything we want just about at any given time. Our society is driven, ladies and gentlemen, by a me mentality. Am I telling the truth or not? Me mentality. Self-gratification mentality. And to those two things, I'm guilty as well. Will you testify to that this morning, that you are guilty to that mentality? Me. Self-gratification. Well, I think that if we were all honest, we all would, wouldn't we? And so the Lord tells us here, He is wanting us to come away from that. He's wanting us to separate ourselves from that. It's called a spiritual discipline for a reason, because it's hard. It is hard, man. It is tough to fast. It's not easy. It just isn't easy. You say, Pastor, you've told me to give up my money and gifts and offerings. You've told me to give up my prayer, my time in prayer, to give up my time and to pray and maybe even pray longer with this model prayer given to us in Matthew chapter 6. And now you're telling me to give up fasting or to give up eating, and so we're to fast? No, I'm not telling you that. The Bible is telling you that. The Bible is telling me that. And this is what we have to understand. I am not sitting up here telling you to do that. Jesus tells us in Matthew in chapter 6 that we are to be giving, that we are to be praying, and that we are to be fasting. And this is one of the things that I forget the most is fasting. I'll be quite honest with you. I forget it. Casey and I were talking about this the other day. We forget about it. We forget to do this. I'll be the first to admit to you that I struggle in this area. I love to eat. Our church loves to eat. Anybody who cooks and has cooked for me knows that I can put it away. And so I love to do that. And it's hard to come away from something that our flesh needs to live on and neglect ourselves of that. Now, as we look at fasting, we have to understand that there are some people that have physical limitations. Not everybody can fast the same way as other people. And this is why I say, as we start and we look at physical limitations, we have to see that what I may be able to is not what maybe Canaan is able to do or somebody else. And that's why I say, well, you need to consult your doctor first before you go on to a fast, because, you know, those that have blood sugar problems or those that have different medications that they have to take or whatever it may be, they need to chat with their doctor before they do that. You say, well, that's a lack of faith. No, it's not. It's called common sense. So before you go on a fast, use some horse sense. It's what I've always heard it called my whole life. Jerry, you ever heard it called that? Horse sense. Use some common sense. If you know that you're going to be giving something up and you know that your body requires that, like sugar, because you have sugar problems, consult your doctor and let him modify a plan for you so when you do set a time to fast that you're able to do that without getting sick and dying. Okay? The goal is not to die. The goal is to live and to worship God. And so do that and have some good common sense in that. Everybody following me so far? We're just setting this thing up on fasting, okay? So first this morning in our text we see we are supposed to be fasting. Listen to what it says. And whenever you fast, my question to myself and to us, to all of us that are gathered this morning, without answering, do not answer this, do not answer, do not answer, do not raise your hand, is, are we fasting? The next question is, when was the last time you fasted? Are you fasting, and when was the last time? Now here's the good news. If we're bad at this act of fasting, we can start today. This spiritual discipline, we can start tomorrow or the next day. Are we doing it, and when was the last time? And the good news is we can start at any time. You say, I have failed at this miserably. Well, so have I. And I'll tell you right straight up front, I have too. But we can start at any time. This is a spiritual discipline that Christ expects us to be doing as little Christs, as Christians. We are to be doing these things. In Scripture, we see a lot of different ways or a lot of different time frames for fasting. We see 40 days. We see all the way down to 3 days, don't we? And so we see different things. Sometimes they fasted food and water. Sometimes they fasted food, whatever it may have been. This is a spiritual discipline. And when it comes to doing this, we pray. Hopefully you don't pray once a week. And hopefully, I mean, I know that we give once a week and when the offering plate comes around. Or maybe you give all week long or whatever. But hopefully you don't pray once a week. But ideally, if you are to fast, you know, because it is a discipline, I personally recommend, and this is hard for me too, but I personally recommend once a week or once every 2 weeks, something that keeps our mind in it so we can continue to do it and continue to go on with this spiritual discipline. This is not easy. It's going to take work. It's going to take work. We have to see that Scripture shows us fasting, and so we just can't ignore it, can we? We can't ignore fasting. Because right here, Jesus tells us very simply, whenever you fast. And so, just as giving and just as prayer, we know that we are to be about it. Verse 16. Notice in our text that the play actors or mask wearers are rewarded with man's applause. This is what they've gotten the whole time with almsgiving and with much prayers. They're rewarded with man's applause. Listen to what he says. And whenever you fast, Jesus specifically tells us, do not put on a gloomy face. Those are strong words, isn't it? Do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, as the play actors. For they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Christ specifically tells us, don't do this. Don't do it. And if you want to think about a change in time nowadays, back then, 2,000 years ago, according to Scripture, people got up and got ready. Think about it for just a minute. He says, go on about your day as a normal day. Get up, wash your face, anoint yourself. Boy, times have changed in 2,000 years, ain't they? If you don't believe me, go to the dollar store at any given time during the day and you will see pajamas and you will see people that have not bathed in a week. Society has changed drastically in 2,000 years. Those people, I promise you, are not fasting. Society's just changed that much. In the days of Christ, it was normal for them to get up, get ready, and go about their day. And he says, matter of fact, wash your face. Do as you're always doing when you get up in the morning. Anoint yourself. Anoint your head. So nobody can say, oh, that person's fasting. Because then if somebody got up and didn't do that and they were unkept, it was a sign that they were fasting or observing some feast day. And so Christ tells us here to do the opposite. He says, get up, clean your face, and anoint yourself. And our society needs this as a whole, if they're fasting or not. I mean, I just got back from Colorado a couple of weeks ago. And guys, I'm going to tell y'all something. They have legalized marijuana over there, and it is terrible. The filth is terrible. My brother and I could not believe what we were looking at. We went into McDonald's, and the filth was awful. We didn't even want to eat in there. If that is any indication where our country is going as a whole, we are in trouble. When I tell you filthy, I'm talking filthy. Filthy. Dirty, filthy. And they weren't fasting, I promise you that. This is a spiritual discipline. Christ tells us that those that fast and show it will be rewarded, and that reward is the applause of man. And guys, here's the deal. We can't trick the Lord. He knows if we're doing it right or doing it wrong. He knows our hearts. And so we can't trick him into thinking that we're doing it right when we're trying to receive the applause of man. Verse 17, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. This is when you fast, but I think it's a good thing to do daily. Let's just keep that in mind. Let's wash our face, anoint our head, let's get up and get ready for the day and not look like slobs. I'm just saying, just throwing that out there. So that you may not be seen fasting by men. Remember, this spiritual discipline is a secret. Remember the secret life, giving, prayer, fasting, secret. He wants us to look normally like we look. Like if we get up and we're looking like that and we wash our face and we go about our day, this is what he wants us to look like. Now I understand we're allowed to fast corporately. We can fast as a whole. There's a lot of different ways to fast. We can fast as a group. It wasn't too long ago, about a year ago, that I called for a church-wide fast, and I gave you some specifics on what to pray for. I said to pray for our town, to pray for a couple of different things that I'm not going to get into detail. But it's not wrong to pray corporately. As a matter of fact, when we did that and when we fasted and prayed corporately as a church, within 2 weeks, what we prayed for was answered specifically. When I tell you answered specifically, the details were scary. How quickly it was answered and how specifically it was answered. And so this is something that we are to do. We can do it as a church, or we can do it individually. So we can fast by ourselves or with others. Just remember, the danger of a wrong heart will bring your reward of man now. We'll get the applause of man. And who doesn't like the applause of man? Well, I love it. Am I the only one that likes to be patted on the back here? We all like to be patted on the back, right? We all like the applause of man. But if we're doing spiritual acts to be applauded by men, we're not doing it spiritually. We're doing it in the flesh, and we're doing it, and we will receive our reward now. We are not doing it for the Lord. There are many, many pitfalls when we begin to do spiritual acts or try to do them in the flesh. There will be many pitfalls that come from them. Look at the text tells us in verse 18 that he doesn't want us to be seen by men, but rather by the Father. Listen to what it says in verse 18. So that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Listen to it. I want you to hear what this says. So that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Verse 18, Christ does something here. He takes our attention and our focus off of what? Those around us and ourselves. And he redirects our eyes where? To the Father. He takes our attention of what's around us and he redirects our eyes up. Fasting is a spiritual discipline where we deny our flesh. Now I'm going to get into the meat of the word here, and I'm going to get into some of this after I've set this thing up. Fasting is a spiritual discipline where we deny our flesh its necessities so that first we may draw close to the Father. This is what fasting is for. So that first we may draw close to the Father. Listen to what it says. Matthew 6:4, Matthew 6:9, and Matthew 6:18. First and foremost, they're all to be done for the Father. Giving, prayer, fasting. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6:4. That your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. That is about giving. 6:9, listen to what it says. As we begin the model prayer, he begins with our Father. It's directed to the Lord, just as giving is directed to the Lord and his kingdom. We see now here in this fasting that it is directed to the Lord first. It is for him. It is for us to draw close to him. It is for our attention to be focused and directed to him. For us to draw close to him. I want us to see that Christ Jesus tells us that our Heavenly Father, our Abba, our Daddy, our Papa, wants to spend time with us. And he's given us a way that we can do that. This closeness to the Father, it deals with hunger, doesn't it? Why do you suppose that it deals with hunger? Why do you suppose it deals with hunger? What does he want from us? He wants us to have a hunger for him. Do we see that? He wants us to have a hunger for him, a spiritual appetite for him. When we neglect ourselves of our physical appetite, guys, you can't do nothing but go to him for strength. And this is what he wants, our eyes to be fixed on him. He wants us to see that he is the sustainer of life. He wants us to draw close to him first. And I promise this, first and foremost, if you have ever truly fasted, if you've ever truly fasted for the Lord, and you have took it to him, there's going to be some things that's going to happen to you in that day or that period of time. And the very first thing I see that happens is not just my gut gets to growling at lunch, but my prayer life quadruples. It goes out of this roof. I mean, I begin to pray so much when we fast because you can't do it by yourself. And so our attention is completely taken off of ourselves. And then we begin to cry out to the Lord. Can anybody testify to that? Amen. Man, I'm telling you. I mean, when you begin to fast, your prayer life will probably jump 50 times what it usually is. Because you know that you can't sustain the pains that's going on inside of you. And so who do you cry out to? Why are you doing this? What's the reason? What's the purpose? Who is it for? God is who it's for us to draw close to him. So when we do begin to fast, our prayer life jumps exponentially. I mean, it goes crazy because we realize that we need him and we will go to him in prayer. Those times that we're supposed to be eating, we will go to him in prayer and say, Lord, you've got to get me through this. You've got to get me through it. Second, it will show us how weak we actually are as human beings. It'll show us how weak we actually are as human beings. And by showing us this, showing our weakness, it will also show us where our strength lies and where it should be lying. And the only one that can give it is God. So fasting shows us a lot of things. And the second thing here is that it shows us where our strength comes from, our mighty God. And it shows us truly how weak we are. Third, it's going to bring out some things that are not always all that great. It's going to bring out some things that are not that great. The first thing that it brings out is some physical problems. If you are addicted to coffee and you go on a fast and you say, well, I'm just going to fast food and I'm just going to have water, and you have coffee and you have a pot of coffee every morning or four cups, there's a good chance that the body will show you that you need coffee. It's going to hurt. It's going to cost you something. It's going to bring out some physical weaknesses that we have. It's going to show you where you're weak in your body. You know that if you've ever done this. Spiritually, when we fast, we must be very careful. So we've looked at physically, it's going to show some of these weaknesses. Spiritually, the danger, we have to be very careful to make sure that we're exercising the fruit of the Spirit. Because if there is ever a time where you will be tempted to lose your patience with those around you that get on your nerves, it will be while you are fasting. And so if you want to do it, you better make sure that you're praying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because you will be tempted to lose your patience. You will be tempted to not be joyful. I mean, Jesus has already told us not to walk around like long faces. So you'll be tempted with all these things. And if there's ever a time in our life where these things will be tested and they will come out, it is during a fast. I promise you that. So there's some dangers here that we have to look at, and that's a few of them that we have to see. That we're going to be stretched. The fruit of the Spirit in our life will be stretched. It will come out, and a lot of times it will come out in a negative way. This is why we're to pray, lead us not into temptation. And so fasting is not easy. It's essentially you're sifting yourself and trying to cling to the Lord and get His attention. Fourth, there's a supernatural power in fasting. And I say supernatural because it is supernatural. It is. You're speaking to an invisible God who has power over the whole earth. It is us crying out to the Lord for closeness for Him, to Him. You want answers? You want answers in life? How many people want answers? Who am I going to marry? Who am I going to spend the rest of my life with? What do I need to buy? What type of house do I need to live in? Where do I need it? What's the occupation? What's my major? What's my minor? All of these different things. What do we need to do with our children? You want answers? Fast and pray. Amen. The Lord will give you those answers. Amen. I have no doubt about it. He will give you those answers. For mountains to be moved. I've heard of different ones fasting about certain things going on in their life, and that it just needed to be moved. That it just needed to be taken away. And they've went to the Lord in fasting and prayer, and that absolutely happened. Direction in their life. I can recall when I first surrendered to the ministry, I went on a fast, tried. It was pretty pitiful. And the Lord knew my heart. It was good. I prayed for a wife. I prayed for a lot of different things. And you know the story, that my specific prayer was that the Lord would give me somebody that would go into the bush with me in Africa and would be able to live in a hut with me if the Lord called us to that place. And the story goes that Casey was already in Africa, in a hut, living in that place. I prayed for that. The Lord gave me that like 3 months later. We have to understand the power in prayer and the power in fasting. This is not something that we should wink at. There is power in it. This is not a coincidence. Queen Esther fasted and prayed for 3 days and the people of Israel to keep from total annihilation. And they were spared. You say that's a coincidence. Nope. I won't hear it. No coincidence. I won't hear it. If you're doubtful that there is power in fasting, then I challenge you to do it. Simply put, I challenge you to do it. Give up your food for a day, pray specifically, and I promise you, you will draw closer to the Lord. No doubt about it. No question. Verse 18, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When a heart truly wants the Lord to move and uses fasting to do so, the Lord will act. We have to keep something in mind, though. You say, well, I fasted, I didn't see any results. You got to remember something. It's His timing and His will. His timing and His will. However, the Bible does promise, listen to what it says here in verse 18, and we're going to get to His timing and His will here in just a moment and why that's so critical when we pray and fast. Listen to what it says though in verse 18. So that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. This is a promise, and this is what we have to remember. When we truly go to the Lord in fasting and prayer, when we truly do this, Scripture teaches us, Christ Jesus tells us, that He will repay us. That is according to His will and according to His purpose. We have to keep that in mind. And this brings me to my last point. And this is something that we have to keep in mind when it comes to prayer, when it comes to giving, when it comes to fasting. And we looked at it last week in the Lord's Prayer. This is what we have to keep in mind when we fast and as we fast. These will more truly direct our motives. They will more truly direct our intentions and our heart when we fast. First, ask yourself this. Will our Father's name be hallowed? What are we asking for? You asking for $1 million? And if so, how is that going to hallow the name of Christ? How is that going to set apart the name of our Lord God? And so we go back to this Lord's Prayer, don't we? And we see that this Lord's Prayer will guide us even as we fast. It will guide our intentions. It will guide our motives. And it will keep us in check to see if what we are doing is from the flesh or what we are doing is for the Spirit and for His kingdom. Listen to what it says. Ask yourself, will our Father's name be hallowed? Second, ask yourself, how will this advance the kingdom of God? When we begin to fast and when we begin to pray, how is this going to affect the kingdom of God? How will it advance the kingdom of God? See, we got to remember that we got to keep His purpose and His plan in mind when we come to Him. Because we can get real selfish real quick. But if we keep these three things in the forefront, it will direct our intentions, our motives. It will direct our heart as we fast and pray. And third, will we allow His will to be done in our lives? You want to fast and pray over direction in your life? You fast and pray, and He shows you that will for your life, you better be careful what you ask and pray for. What if He calls you to preach? What if He calls you to teach? What if He calls you to go back to school and to go be a missionary in China? We got to be very careful what His will and His purpose, what will come out when we fast and pray. You really want to know? You fast and pray. But be ready to fulfill His purpose in your life when He tells you to do something. So we got to keep His name hallowed, set apart, sanctified. We got to remember that it is for His kingdom to be advanced, not our kingdom, but His. And that it's for His will to be done and not ours. This will direct our intentions, it will direct our motives of the heart when it comes to fasting. Everybody got that? Okay, so we see very clearly that as we wrap up fasting, there's a lot of examples in Scripture where it talks about it. But this is a spiritual discipline that draws us closer to the Father, just as giving and just as prayer does as well. Just as prayer does as well. All three deal with us. All three deal with ourselves, others, and the Lord, don't they? And so we have to be careful when we look at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, when it comes to giving, prayer, and fasting. These are three areas that Christ expects us to already be doing. So if we're not doing in these areas, let me tell you and myself, we need to be doing them because He calls us to. Also keep in mind that there's power in it. There's power in giving and power in prayer and power in fasting. Guys, Jesus has called us to do these things. He speaks as if we're already doing them. And shame on us when we're not. Shame on us when we're not. And so I challenge you as we have wrapped up this secret life, prayer, giving, and fasting, I challenge you that you would be about your Father's business. That you would be about this and do this and try to set it up to where you're doing this weekly or however you need to do it. Every 2 weeks or whatever. A lot of people do it weekly, you know, one day a week for 24 hours or for three meals. They'll just skip those three meals. The Lord wants us to draw away from the world and draw close to Him. And these are three ways in which we can do that. These are secret to be done in secret, and we know that the Father who sees us in secret will reward us according to His word. He will reward us openly. Let's pray.